This is a Stand Up New York Labs production, providing you podcasts since 2013. Welcome to What a Time to Be Alive, the only podcast counting down everything this week that made you say, "What a time to be alive." And now, Patrick Monahan, Kath Barbadoro, and Eli Uden.
How's it going, folks? Welcome to What a Time to Be Alive, the only podcast that counts down the things that make you say that title of the podcast. I'm Patrick Monahan.
I'm Kath Barbadoro.
I'm Eli Uden.
How's everybody doing?
Hi. Good. I'm good.
Yeah?
I'm hungry. What about you?
Yeah. I'm usually hungry, so that's...
What are you going to eat? What are you going to eat after this, Eli?
I don't know what I'm going to eat. I can't... But it's doing that thing, like, you know, when you get really hungry and my brain is, like, a little mad because... Like, I'm trying to tell it to do a podcast, and it's like, what are you trying to do? We have to eat. Why are you doing this? I don't know. I'll probably get whatever's close. I actually probably get Two Boots because I have a show at UCB East. Do you guys, what are your opinions on Two Boots? Because Two Boots is a extremely polarizing pizza place.
I've never been.
I think it's really good.
I think it's fine. I think it's like people just...
Why do people not like it or like it?
Because it's like a thing that they do like...
It's the titular Two Boots are Italy and Louisiana.
Yeah.
So it's like...
Oh, I don't like that.
It's like New Orleans kind of vibe pizza. But it's not really. No. Like, it's just regular. You can get regular pizza.
What is it? Like pizza with like crawfish on it or something?
Legitimately, yes. That is one of them. That's the Bayou Beast has crawfish on it.
There's something andouille.
But it's
involved.
Like... I mean, the spices
I eat
kind
pizza with like boudin on it. That sounds good.
It's not bad. It's like... But the thing is like the crust is wrong or the... Fucking sauce is too spicy.
The sauce has a little spice.
People in this city need to stop being so fucking precious about pizza. It's the beauty of pizza is that it's like always pretty good.
Yeah.
Just accept it.
Don't make me defend Domino's again. But yeah, people just like to shit on it. But it's like, I think it's, I do categorize it as like a different thing from pizza. Like, I'm like, oh, there's Two Boots and there's like most pizza. But they do some good stuff.
Nah, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But hey, it's right next to the place I need to go.
That's my number one.
Look at Eli,
the night is planned.
Booked tonight, huh?
Wow, that wasn't condescending at all.
I was genuinely trying to be supportive.
Wow. What an unusual event.
He did it.
Oh. My worldview shattered.
Give me an it will kill.
You don't get the it will kill if you didn't mean to.
I killed you unintentionally. I'm sorry.
It'll kill.
UCB is like a really good place to perform. I'm excited for you.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I'm excited. That's the last time I try to compliment you.
You got it.
No, thank you for that. It's just also like it's College Humor Live, so it's just like me hosting it. Like somebody, I'm not even supposed to be hosting it. Someone had to cancel, so it's just like
it's an honor. Is
truly
what you're saying.
Just like, well, I'm not supposed to be there.
Hey, man, way to be there when somebody looked up from the email that said the guy couldn't make it or whatever. That's pretty tight.
Yeah, way to be online on Facebook Messenger at the right time of day.
Have the green dot next to you in Slack for whatever.
You guys are giving away way too much of our comedy business. That this is like 90% of how you get
peek behind the curtain.
I've posted that on Facebook. I'm like, you want to know how to get booked on my show? Be online on Facebook Messenger 2 days before the show.
Or, you know, for the show, maybe even just come to the show. You know, it depends on the night. Certainly,
show up.
Certainly, if you come to the show, you'll get booked on a future show. Yeah. Look, if I think you're funny, let's be very clear about that. This is not an open casting.
Weirdos.
Yeah.
Like the thing the guy, whatever that movie was, like send me a urinal cake with your face on it so that whenever I'm booking, that's what pops into my head.
Wait, what is that from?
I think it's from I Love You, Man, where Rob Hubel's character gets urinal cakes with his face on them.
That's good merch.
Yeah.
We should make that for the podcast.
With our three faces on the urinal cake. Oh.
It'd have to be the biggest urinal cake on earth.
Yeah.
Three huge faces.
It's three urinal cakes. So they kind of, you know.
Oh, you get to
come
pick.
Come in a three pack.
You piss down
each of our faces consecutively.
You know, in those classic bathrooms that have three urinals, you know, that standard bathroom configuration.
Yeah.
Not two, not more than three. Three.
What's the average number of urinals in a men's bathroom?
Oh, I mean, it's all over the place.
I would say one or two, you know, depending
how
on
how often
I feel
do you
like
get
it's
the...
usually three. There's usually a middle one and two sides, and then, or it's like a big one with like, it's either like three or it's like 12.
I was just going to ask, how often do you get like the trough?
Trough
seems
not
exciting to me.
The trough is like only, yeah, it's only certain. I'm trying to think of where
like
is it?
I feel like the trough has fallen out of favor.
Where's the trough? I'm trying to think of where the trough, where I've been to the trough recently.
I feel like baseball stadiums have troughs.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah. Like public spaces for sure.
I know one place that has a trough, which is the gay bar, The Eagle.
Uh-huh.
And they had to put up signs that said, please do not lie down in the urinal trough.
Yeah, that's good advice.
Clearly it was like a constant problem for the people that worked there.
There's this incredible series of YouTube videos from people acting like assholes at this, like, it's like a horse race near D.C. You know, Foxfields? Eli knows Foxfields.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, horse races are, like they seem fancy. The infields and stuff are the most disgusting places in the world.
People are just complete animals. Like, they're in like, seersucker suits, but there's a video of like a guy, like his frat, like chanting him and doing it, and they had like a piss trough, and he just does like a slip inside through the piss. and then like immediately gets arrested for public intoxication.
At the end of the slip and slide.
Yeah, pretty much.
They're like, we're going to hazard a guess that it's you're pretty intoxicated.
He slip and slides right into handcuffs. Yeah. Like, sure, at the end of the
but then he can slip the cuffs because he's all pissed
pretty
up.
Pretty sure we don't need a breathalyzer on this farm. This is an open and shut case.
Well, our breathalyzer just says piss. Yeah. You've won this round, it's sir.
Like, hey, man, you know, we're not even going to arrest you. We're just going to kind of shove you a lot. We don't want you in the car or anything. So.
Yeah. There's also like a great video you can find of, it's like from some German music festival, and it's just like a German lady hosting and talking on YouTube, and in the back is like a piss trough, but it's, I guess it's like more, you know, it's like Germany, so it's just sort of out in the open and people don't think it's that weird. Like it's concealed,
Germany?
But it's like, well, just in Europe in general, it's
this
like,
is, this is where he puts the piss. You know,
like, yeah,
like, just like not in a bathroom. Just like, here's the bar.
I mean, it's like, it's like
trough.
Separated.
This is for the piss.
But it's not like, you know, they're not,
piss.
Yeah. It's not Americans who are like, I need to be covered.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah.
But because of that, whatever, this like German host is like, yeah, we hear it, you know, Bumba shoot, but Germany or whatever it is. And you watch like this like very like dear, like just a confused dad who's American walk up and start soaping his hands
no,
up
no.
in the piss trough with a urinal cake.
Yes.
And then he doesn't, like, there's still a language barrier. So the German woman is like shocked, and he just sort of like looks at her. And like keep scrubbing, but like can't register what he's doing wrong.
He's still got it.
Yeah.
No one has corrected me on anything specifically yet, but I know it's coming. So I'm just going to cautiously, just like if you're washing your hands in the trough and you get that look, it's like,
oh yeah,
something is amiss here. I don't know what yet.
Yeah,
but I'm probably going to be upset.
It's like
later.
I thought the spidey sense was my usual like sort of sense of self doubt, but apparently I was right this time. But I can't go back now. That's not gonna. Piss? My hands are pissed right now.
You can hear
okay.
His first thought is clearly he's like, am I in your shot? And then it's like, well, if not that. I also was just talking to somebody about how I like have tried to make a bit out of this, but it won't work. It's like the most deafening silence in the world is like at a bar or something, and you go to piss, and there's like a guy at the urinal. There's like two maybe, so you can't spread out. And then like, so two dudes go to piss next to each other at the urinal, but then neither of them can get started because you're both pee shy. And so you just both stand there in just this like, just like porcelain silence.
Dicks out.
Yeah, it's just a race to see who wants to pretend that they peed first and be like, all done here. See you on the flip side.
God, that went great. Got no issues.
That sounds
another dry piss for me. Just had a little air in the bladder. Wanted to drain it. Anyways,
just leaving like another success.
Just whistling.
Yeah, just it's just sounds like when a roller coaster starts like softly. I've done that at Union Pool before, so there's my Union Pool story.
There you go. That's your legendary Union Pool story. Everyone has one.
Yeah.
Couldn't piss.
Couldn't piss.
That's also like the biggest, the one thing about urinals though is like unisex bathrooms, like they're good for 100,000 reasons. They're bad because they legitimately like, you can't have urinals in your unisex bathrooms as much, and it takes a lot longer to like get into them. Does that make sense?
Like, there's a line.
Is this problematic?
Well, I feel like I am always stressed out when I go into a gender-neutral bathroom and there is a urinal. And it's like, I feel weird about it.
You're like, I gotta use it.
No, but like, if there's like a dude peeing, like, I'm still not conditioned to being okay with walking into that.
Yeah.
Like, it feels weird. Obviously, I'm not like seeing anything or like looking for anything, but it's like there's a man with his dick out like really close to me right now.
Yeah, I guess I'm not talking about unisex bathrooms. I'm talking about when they convert bathrooms to be like single occupancy.
Oh,
when,
I see. When
everyone's in line, so you have a girl behind
like
you.
Like Cobra Club is a nightmare. That's right, a real deep cut for people. Cobra Club's a bar with single occupancy bathrooms. Cobra Club also just takes forever because the people doing.
Like, we're gonna cut and do coke. Thanks.
So yeah, that's pretty much it.
That's why there's a line. Is because everybody's doing coke.
Hey, yeah, feel free to let them in. Thanks, man. That's gonna help me out later. I'm really glad that this is a lot of benefit for me here.
Well, speaking of bathrooms, good segue, right?
Oh yeah, really incredible, man.
We have this
all.
You should see the skeleton of the episode that we have laid out here. It's quite
looks like a
extensive. Guys, I don't want to brag
before Christmas over here.
I don't want to brag, but we planned some stuff before we started recording. Very professional.
We're tightening it up.
Turning over a new leaf. Anyways.
Okay. So yeah,
I think that one of the things about a segue is you can't get really excited about how well it went and then pause.
Not segue. Yeah. There we go.
I thought you were doing it. Okay.
So bathrooms, right? Pretty crazy stuff. Bathrooms.
Pretty crazy stuff. Those bathrooms.
Well, Shelby's fixing the thing. I'm trying to make sure that we're not. So in Massachusetts, this is pretty good. Just a classic graph story. The famous. Municipal malfeasance we all enjoy. So the Massachusetts Department of Transportation has a board that I guess meets in a state house type building, and the people who are sit on the board requested a private bathroom because the bathrooms in the hall they would often get followed by reporters. This was the reason why they needed their own bathroom, I guess.
I believe that to be honest.
Okay, but like at the same time, it's like but I mean. I don't know. Like, there's other ways to do this than to build a new bathroom.
It'd be fine if they had to just build the bathroom for the price that a bathroom should
cost. Right. Well, right. And look, I don't know anything about how much things are supposed to cost. I feel pretty confident saying now this price. So the bill ended up being there was some investigative journalism done, and they finally released the bathroom documents. I guess there was somebody realized.
Release the bathroom
somebody
documents. Realized.
That's what I call shitting.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I have to go release the documents.
Those long paper thin shits.
Go respond to
it. It sounds like a fax machine.
Yeah. FOIA request. dot matrix printer. So the state transportation secretary is now apologizing and said we should have done a better job of noticing this. The bathroom cost $100,000. That's
should have done a better job noticing this.
Yeah, like is it like gold fixtures? You know, I mean, that's like the classic like. People that complain about government being inefficient and all that kind of stuff and ripping people off. Like, $100,000 for a bathroom is just like, all right, man, I don't know how you think, like, where did nobody in this point in this process was like, hey, what the fuck? Like, they just kind of well, let's move it along. I'll sign off on this and we'll see. Someone else will get yelled at.
Yeah. They're like, we're sorry. We're actually very good with money. We just don't read how much things cost and approve them. That was the problem in our methodology here.
Yeah. It reminds me of the Arrested Development joke where she's like, what could a banana cost? $8? People who have no idea how much anything is. But I am wondering, like, did they even try? Did you see? Are there pictures of the bathroom?
Yeah, so I was just going to show
nice?
You guys.
No, it's not.
It's garbage.
It's like an office building bathroom. It's not, And part of the problem is this was a no-bid contract. So that's how you know you get the best price is when nobody has to submit competing bids and somebody's buddy gets to. That's like the Puerto Rico contract that we talked about. That's where the real primo stuff comes in.
That's the way you get that hot price. I tell you what, if you're out of the country, you want to go to a bazaar, you want to do some bartering. You go up to any salesman or something you want, and you'll go, look, I need this thing. I'm going to buy it from you. I promise I'm not going to talk to anybody else. What's a fair price? That's a good way. To save some moolah.
Wow, you guys real cash. Capitalists on this show.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah.
Really. That's
competition
how you,
drives
how you
the
do
price
it.
Down.
Well, I mean, maybe you don't talk to Gino from the North End first. Maybe you get somebody else involved in the process.
As a person related to people named Gino who are from the North End, I take offense to
look,
that.
Look, I'm just taking a stab in the dark at who might have had some role in this. Okay, look, I don't know. It's
I
hard
need
to
a
say.
Literally, all my uncles are in construction and Italian.
Look, I need a bathroom, but here's the catch. I'm going to need it for under $200,000. You can make it for what? Well, It's a 50% savings.
The records say that it was like fast tracked by a high ranking public official. I like to imagine it's like, I need a bathroom now. Like he's standing outside.
Whatever you say.
Like a bunch of guys run in and start building.
Yeah, he's like,
his legs crossed. It doesn't matter how much it costs. I gotta go.
His legs crossed.
Yeah, yeah. It's just
like, there's a bathroom over there. There's people out there.
That's the best part is $100,000 for a bathroom like 40 feet away from another bathroom.
Yeah,
it's like, well, we don't want to have to answer to reporters. That's not what our job is as public servants. That's not what we want to do. We need to, they have a kitchenette too. To be fair, it's not just a bathroom.
In the bathroom, they had a kitchenette.
No, it's not in that. Well, that'd be pretty good though.
Yeah,
they fucked it
make
up.
Some
and
fucking
it's like,
crepes.
Make a lean cuisine. Like, right. Take a dump.
Here's there's plus side and downside. Downside for you guys, it's $100,000. Plus side, you guys are mad at us. The kitchenette's in the bathroom, so it's really awkward for everybody. So that's our punishment.
Yeah.
Is we have to do that. We shit where we eat.
Yeah.
So.
I will say I'm a little bit sympathetic of the not wanting to talk to reporters thing. Because have you ever been, this has happened to me multiple times. You've been like working at a comedy club or something and you do your set and then you go in the bathroom and people are talking about your set while you're in the bathroom.
Yeah.
It's the worst thing that's ever happened.
I mean, I connect with it on the sense that like pretty much anybody like walking up to me and talking to me is like a negative. I'm usually like kind of bummed out about it. I'm sort of like, well, I'm not going to just be quiet. I know what you're talking about. Like that I do.
Well, there's that whole like idea of mystique, even though what we're doing is very much not like show business in like the classic sense. But like this idea that like I should be able to just like appear in a puff of smoke, do my set, and then disappear in different puff of smoke. Yeah. So everyone's like, wow, that was great. No one interacted with that guy and saw that he's just like a fucking guy on his
so
phone.
Much. Wow, that was great.
Yeah. That's what they all say after.
That's what Patty fans
say.
Like.
No laughter. Yeah. They just say, wow, that was great.
I think we've had that guy at Karma, though. I do like, I can't stop imagining that when they say that, though, just like this very like Roger Rabbit Looney Tunes, like they're pissing and then like swirling out of the toilet bowl as a reporter. He's like, tell me, sir. Yeah. He's like, what's going on? Give me the scoop. I also think that the $100,000, I imagine like, you know that the famous statue of like Michael Jackson in Bubbles? That's like all weird and it's like porcelain with like gold. Yeah. Like that, the Dean Koontz.
Yeah.
I'm just, that's going to be me being an asshole, but that's the novelist who writes like mystery stuff.
Yeah, you're right.
I felt bad about it, so I couldn't burn you. Sorry, I'm not as mean as Kat.
No, burn it.
Yeah, burner. Gotcha. When I was like,
my mom's going to listen to this and be really fucking mad.
I lost
She's an
him
art
so
teacher.
Quickly. I was like, hey, Kath, actually, you did make a mistake. Here. I'm sorry about that.
I don't deserve you guys. I'm thinking of Jeff Koons.
Yeah.
I don't deserve you guys. You're way too nice to me for how mean I am to you.
No, it's, I'll snap one day. No, Jeff Koons is also like, he married a porn star and then just like did paintings of her fucking her and put them up. And he's like, this is art now because you guys decided I'm famous.
But wait, what about the Michael Jackson statue?
Oh, I just imagined that the toilet was like that, but it was a reporter.
Expensive.
It was like a porcelain reporter, and then you just like pissed.
You shit in him?
No, you pissed all over it, and then the piss like cascaded and drained at the bottom, and it was just like
That'd be
a
beautiful.
Reporter kind of posed up.
Well, here's the best thing is that you imagine like, $300 like screw or whatever, like that kind of the way the costs pile up. Materials cost $7,300. So they managed to create $93,000 and like, he's got to stand over there. He's getting quadruple overtime, whatever. It's fine. It's like, wait, so how much are we spent? Wait, hang on. What are you all doing in here? What is this all?
Oh boy, the invisible hand of the market truly fucked us today. The demand for bathrooms must be insatiable.
You want somebody else to build you a bathroom in here today? I don't think so. This guy's like, we got a genius investigator here. Sullivan said the cost of the project likely ballooned with items like rented trucks and extra supervisors. Yep, I think so.
Yeah, it was just a circle of 20 guys going, looks good. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's, look, we had to buy 40 clipboards for all these guys. They gotta get this thing done over here.
Buddy, what do you think? Bathrooms grow on trees? Come on.
Look, I can't do a Boston accent, so I'm just doing like the guy from Futurama who's the construction worker. That's all I got.
Futurama's a good show though.
It is. So that was that. Pretty cool. Big time expensive turlet. Gotta be pretty tight if you're one of those people that approve that project going in there. It's like embarrassing, but it's also like, this is probably the most expensive bathroom for miles for a long distance.
An architectural achievement.
Yeah. Did we talk about that? One of the best Birdman lines ever is the beginning of the song, Givenchy, where he's
we talked about the best Birdman
gold
lines.
Turret. We might have. It's something I bring up more often than you think.
I honestly think we have talked about that.
Yeah, okay.
Really?
I think so. I'm pretty sure.
I think when we were recording in the big room, I remember talking about gold
turlets. I did talk about it because somebody messaged me about it and they were like, I also like that gold turlets line. Suck on that.
Jokes
How about
on
you
me.
Take a undecisive about what sound effect I want to burn you with? How about
it'll kill.
Take that.
Number four.
Yep, I'm feeling pretty high off that burn, so let's get into it. I am like, I'm better at roasting than this. I've done roast battles, but here I'm like, sorry. All right, so number four is another everyday hero, every man.
We got a lot of that this week.
Yeah.
People were doing good work this week.
There's so much this week, like it's unbelievable. I mean, we're just gonna have to start. We should just start like the opposite of Alex Jones. Let's get his desk. We'll broadcast 24 hours a day and bang on the desk and talk about what a time it is to be alive. But number four comes out of it's in Tarpon Springs, which
I know it. I've been there. It's a weird place. Yeah. It's super weird because it's in Florida. But it's a Greek sponge fishing town. I'm not making this up.
Sponge fishing.
They fish for sponges.
Well, tarpon's a fish, right? Isn't it like a weird fish?
Yeah, tarpon's
Sounds
a fish.
Like it.
But yeah, Greek
How
sponge
do you
fishing
fish
town.
For they're stationary, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I
Couldn't
think
you just go down there and get them?
I guess.
Well, we're all learning today. this is not about sponges, believe it or not. So there's a sponge shortage down in Tarpon Springs.
Are you folks heard about this?
It's kind of cool. Like, I'd recommend visiting if you're nearby. Go buy some sponges.
Wait, but those aren't sponge. They're not the same sponges.
Natural sponges. Yeah. Like from the ocean.
Like the loofahs you use? I thought sea sponges. Okay, this is way beyond. This is out of my depth. No pun intended. Wow. Okay.
Oh boy.
Loofahs are a vegetable. Sponges are in the ocean.
There we go.
Let's go.
We both reach for it. Anyways, in Tarpon Springs, which apparently is part of some sort of sponge pipeline to Bed Bath & Beyond or whatever, there is a guy who was building a home, and some of his neighbors noticed the unusual structure of this home, and one of them came by. This is a good little description so this guy was building it, Gareth Whitehurst.
Amazing name, by the way.
Really,
Gareth Whitehurst.
That. So this is also like, I love when stories are, they like so the reporter writing this story knows it's just a good story and they kind of go into it in a narrative fashion. Or it's like, the building was in its infancy when a vintage Cadillac Eldorado rumbled up the construction path. Like getting out, their driver demanded to know what the finished structure was intended for. So Gareth, you know, he's like, hey, it's going to be it's my house. And the stranger scoffed. And he said that the unique design gave it away. Someone was building a mosque. This is
bum,
yeah, exactly. Trigger strings, like inception noise. That this guy, I like to think this guy in the Cadillac Eldorado is just trolling the streets looking for unfinished mosques and trying to put a stop to it.
Well, that's a big fear. Like the mosques are like popping up like the fucking Zerg in StarCraft. Like there's just like a creep of sludge. And it's just like, oh no, there's another one. Oh God, what are we going
to
do?
Yeah, like, that's what it's like the resource line, you know, they're like, you need to construct more mosques every time they try to make a new, you know, they're trying to make a new radical. Enough resources.
Yeah. We don't have enough Sharia.
All mosques are built on top of like a steaming hole in the ground, like in StarCraft.
Right, that's right.
Well, when they build it, they have to burn a bunch of Bibles and then bury them and then build the mosque on top.
Yeah, those are the resources that, and then just large crystal deposits that they break down. I'm just going fully into the StarCraft thing.
Do you guys think Muslims are more like Protoss or Zerg?
There's like, that's the full alt-right Gamergate level. They're like, that's the level of racism they're at. They're like, the Protoss are an advanced civilization. Really going too far.
Yeah,
wow,
I have
we'll
not
never
followed
get
any
here.
Of this.
Look, you guys know I'm easy to send off on tangents, and I feel I've been baited. But anyways.
That's a pretty quick one.
Yeah.
You're
so,
doing good.
So, Thank you. So anyways, this guy's like, hey, I figured it out, dude. You're not fooling me. You're building a mosque. And he's not building a mosque. But, you know, he couldn't, after that, just because he was so mad at this guy, he then commissioned a sign written in Arabic and hung it at the front of the property that said in Arabic, this is not a mosque.
Rad.
Yeah. Perfect. Good. He goes, and then Gareth said, at least the people who spoke Arabic wouldn't be confused. Those other SOBs could construe it any way they wished. Which I love, like, one of those guys who's, like, pranking and, like, on the side of right and wrong, but also doesn't curse. He's just like your dad, you know, getting one over on somebody.
I'll fix their wagons.
Yeah. Oh, I hope they chew on this.
These fuddy-duddies.
Yeah, exactly. It's fuddy-duddies is great.
It's funny, too, because I feel like people who are like that are people who get into, neighbor disputes about how their house looks. Exactly. It's like you're trying to outdo your neighbors with the Christmas lights. You're turning your house into a mosque despite your neighbor. Like, love it. Oh, love dad to, feuds.
There was no swearing when Rand Paul got form tackled by that guy.
To be fair, I'll go into that in a minute, but so he says this is not a mosque. It goes, they're almost done with the building now, and what it actually is an homage to the Jefferson Memorial. So it is not a mosque. It is, in fact, creepily American and very weird in its own way. It's
definitely weird, I would say that.
But, like, something this guy would probably like to salute to or whatever.
Yeah.
I will say, like you were saying, as a neighbor, if this was my street, I probably would also be like, could you not do this?
Could you not build a Jefferson Memorial?
Yeah, and it's like only part, it's just like a circular, it's like a circular house.
Yeah, it's just the
rotunda,
right?
That's what's so funny is, like, now that I know that he was building the Jefferson Memorial, it's like, oh, you just saw like non-90 degree angles and we're like, mosque!
Yeah. Circle building!
It's like either mosque or a Lovecraftian city, okay? And right now I'm going with mosque.
Goddamn Muslims building their circle buildings!
Good conspiracy theory is that the Jefferson Memorial is a secret mosque. Yeah. Like after hours.
Let's spread that. Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
That's yeah, a but good that's one. It's also
that's the
weird
prettiest
as hell.
One.
Like, it's weird as hell to build yourself just a circle house, anyways. Like, it's like the weirdest studio. You just exist within a house with no corners. Like, what? Where do you put your bed?
What do you put your bed against?
Yeah. You sleep in the middle of the room.
Where's your fridge?
Yeah, it seems like that's, I wouldn't be worried about a mosque. I'd be like, this is part of like a transmutation circle. Like there's a ritual here.
People do not build round buildings unless they're doing rituals.
Like, something about this place is off. Doesn't really matter what. All I know is we got to sneak in and burn it down tonight. Okay, that's all. Yeah.
That's me walking up next to the guy who thinks it's a mosque, and he's like, something about this building seems off, and I'm like, yeah, and he's like, you know what I think? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, and we both say at the same time, he's like, it's a mosque. And I was like, it's part of a ritual. Me too.
the ritual is Islam.
Yeah. All right. See you later.
We gotta burn this down before they finish the incantations or whatever. I don't know.
So they do all that. I think it's great too that it's like, it's just.
Well, here's the thing I bet happened. The shitty guy who was like, hey, man, is this a mosque? I'm sure he was like, well, I was wrong, sir. Thank you. I'm sure that was a lesson learned, right? And not just a guy who just refused to admit that he was a fucking nosy scumbag.
Yeah. He's like, well, if it had been a mosque, old Johnny would have won. I can spot him. But yeah, and then the rest of this is like, it's the article is like, you can tell that the reporters are like, okay, that's what I wanted to write about. But then he's just like talking more about this guy's life. And he seems like a nice dude. Worked at a jewelry store, you know.
Do we find anything out about the guy who thinks it's a mosque? Or is that he just makes
he
a
just
quick appearance?
He just vanishes into the night.
Fucking the bad guy from Roadhouse.
Yeah. He fucking
pulls up in a fancy car.
In a monster truck.
JCPenney's coming here because of me.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a mosque.
Sidekick named Jimmy who's just. Yeah.
I used to fuck guys like you in prison. One of the all-time best lines in any action movie.
Oh, I mean, we can't just talk about Roadhouse because it would go forever. Nope. But, ooh,
just
great time.
Just want to do a quick Ben Gazzara there. That's it. Let's keep it moving.
Great time, Roadhouse. Check it out if you haven't. I mean, that guy just, I assume, packed his stuff back into his car and went back on his cross-country journey to sort of stop mosques from being built by just confronting people outside of it.
Yeah.
You know. But
Johnny racist seed. I don't know.
It's not racism because Islam is not a race, actually. So you got me, man.
Have you had that argument before?
It's It's not like you're just like going brown is bad. It's like, I think it counts as racism, actually. Because I think I know what your main indicator of who's a Muslim is. It's going to be similar to race.
It's going to be race and angles in their architecture. That's what it is.
Now is the time I've chosen to jump into semantics. Right now, there's like a great tweet from somebody today that was like, you know, some conservative dude. And somebody said that Alex Jones was selling snake oil. I think like Craig T. Nelson retweeted it, selling snake oil. And then some conservative guy was like, snake oil salesman hasn't been an occupation for a long time. I was like, you guys talk about witch hunts every day.
Yeah.
Those are also not super recent.
It's like, hey man, there's this thing that's called expressions.
Idioms.
And people use them. And
figurative language.
Looks like this guy's been drinking his nerve tonic.
Just huge like Daryl Strawberry in that one Simpsons episode.
No, it's actually Ken Griffey Jr., not Daryl Strawberry. Daryl Strawberry hits all the home runs and then cries.
Hit the it will kill.
That's just It'll a gentle kill. Correction. You need to edit It Will Kill to be like, it will be corrected shortly.
Gentle pushback.
But to Gareth Whitehurst, not Mosque Maker, we applaud you.
Yeah.
On the cast.
Definitely was at risk of having this place burned down for sure, and probably has a bunch of angry people living around him, but he got them.
Now
you
have to build a regular house that turns out to be a mosque.
Yeah.
They're like, this one's regular, and then it opens up, and they're like, mosque, open. They're like, no.
Just build a house.
A colonial mosque. Just like you're a Cape Cod beach house, but it's a mosque.
Yeah.
I would love that.
My God, they're learning. Like, I shouldn't use that classic mosque shape, you know? That's what gets you.
Number three.
Okay, number three. Look, we've already had some light anti-Italian goofing around on this show. There's about to be a whole lot more because this story...
Is that just when we started doing the voices?
Well, yeah, when Patty was like, don't have Gino from the North End.
Yeah.
Do your bathroom construction, which... Yeah. Look, I'm not going to say it's wrong.
Yeah, you did confirm.
Sorry about that. I was a real freaking Gavone back there.
Thank you.
I was a real stunad.
So this next story is from where all stories about wonderful Italian hijinks come from, Staten Island. And happened... there's going to be a lot more of these voices. Yeah.
It's paradise.
Ooh, Staten Island, you know what they call it?
New Dorp Road.
The heaven up north of the city.
Staten Island is home of that guy who like threatened to break the reporter in half, then went to jail, and is probably going to get elected.
So yes, as we've established, Staten Island fucking rules.
Hey.
And there's this week, this Bonanno crime family captain guy, whose name is John Porky Zancoccio.
Yep.
Yeah, let's keep it respectful here, Kat. I can't stop moving my shoulders like this.
Now, you might think he got his name, you can think of a couple different reasons. Turns out he got the name Porky because he used to walk around with no pants on all the time.
Yeah, and he would just end every conversation with, that's all, folks!
Yep, very weird quirk.
Like that.
Just all these mobsters, they all have their singular quirk. You got to develop it early so you get a good nickname.
Yeah.
He was really angling for Porky.
Split apart. They take one mobster and they split him into multiple people with a single quirk.
We got
quirk.
Nicky No Quirks over here. It's like, oh, that's going to stick. Great.
Yeah, he doesn't even have an accent.
They're going to call me that in jail.
Generic mobster Nicky No Quirks.
No, he can't get angry because then they call it. He's like, all right, if that's my nickname, I'll accept it. All right.
So,
what's your favorite food? I like all of them.
So, Porky.
Porky is a 60-year-old crime boss. He was out on furlough, and he violated the terms of the agreement because he couldn't stop going on food tours in Staten Island. And it turns out half the Italian restaurants in Staten Island have mob connections, and he wasn't allowed to be there.
Mm.
So he's going back to jail because Porky couldn't stop...
Porky Romano.
Pigging out.
Porky Romano.
He was pigging out, now he's back in the pokey, folks.
You guys want
all.
Some gabagoo?
That's the worst joke I've ever done on this podcast.
It's made out of me, I think. I don't remember what exactly.
Anyways, yep, me and Patty were real respectful. Them's just the facts.
I know.
Corky.
What was the, I mean, I assume.
Couldn't stop eating at mob restaurants.
Couldn't stop sidling up to the old gravy trough, getting some man of gold, getting some freaking, you know.
Yeah.
He was so, they let him out. They let him out so that he could go to a family funeral. But he was only supposed to go there and then go back. But instead, he visited two restaurants and a bakery.
Hell yeah, dude. That's awesome, though.
I know.
I respect this
man. A little doubleheader.
Yeah.
Two meals and a pastry, a dessert.
Look, I just had, look, you know, yeah, just, how mad are you really? It's like, I mean, it's the mob connection. It's not like the, you know, it's like, don't go hang out with your crime buddies, you know?
That's also part of the story that he says is like his, part of his lawyer's defense is he's like, look, he's like, it's a Catholic tradition that you share a meal at the funeral.
I'm a loved one. What?
I don't know. It's just like, that's like, sitting, like some, like mobster, like sitting Shiva, and then like another, like head of a mob family brings him a casserole. It's like, you gotta be able to get the casserole. Sitting Shiva? And then that's, except like, you know.
Your Honor, have you had the cacciatore yet? Cuccinelli's, come on!
I like the idea that it's a Catholic tradition to eat, to visit two restaurants and then a bakery.
Yeah. You know that
the Holy Trinity, two restaurants and a bakery.
You know that special Catholic tradition, sharing a meal with people you love.
Yeah,
that Catholic tradition.
I wish our listeners could see how much we're all gesturing through this whole story.
You take the ashes to the restaurant and then they spread them into the sauce.
Is there even a name for this thing? This move?
For the
little, like, you know, marone.
You put your fingers together and like shake your hands.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's called.
Yeah, it is like the official gesture of like just bad Italian impressions, though. It's very important. Italian American.
Yeah. I like this. I like this one. I feel like an underused one is.
We got a proposed nickname is Mamma Mia Hands.
Mamma Mia Hands.
Yep.
Thank you, Shelby.
That's straight from Urban Dictionary.
I think is really underused, though, is people do Mamma Mia Hands a lot, but they should do the chin flick more.
Yeah, it's a good
one. I love the chin flick.
Cool. Yeah.
Well, that means like fuck you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the Italian way to say fuck you.
Yeah.
I love we used to go to a lot of Italian restaurants when I was growing up, and that was like our. We'd have like a different spot that was like our spot, and they were part of
the violin music family, to come in, like Goodfellas. Yeah. We used to go to a lot of Italian music.
Just the fucking. Just get the.
Just the Goodfellas.
Just the Lady and the Tramp. Just Lady and the Tramp.
But go ahead, sorry.
For as long as I could remember, I wanted to eat at an Italian restaurant.
As long as I can remember, I wanted to eat at two Italian restaurants and a bakery.
But we would go to these places and like they would have guys who would be, you know, like coming over from Italy who like didn't speak English. They'd be like bussing tables and stuff. And then they would graduate up to like being like the sometimes, you know, they'd be the waiter like on an off night or whatever. So and they would always like all these guys would always have like their one adjective that they just like always fell back on. Like, or like their one word, you know, that would be like the end of every interaction would be like, absolutely, or beautiful. Like there's all like, yeah. I thought that was like the greatest quirk. Like I'm sure everyone does that when they learn a language, but it was such a great, like this like weird, always using these like lyrical words to just be like, can we have some more bread? Beautiful. Absolutely. It's like, thank you, Fausto. For that.
I'm just imagining Furio from The Sopranos as your waiter.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
That's actually what I was picturing.
You ever seen it? It's very good. I don't know if you've
heard.
I don't know if anybody's
that
told
is what
you.
I've heard.
Sopranos, pretty good show.
Yeah. So I'll just give a shout out to the Columbus Park in Stanford. And I think Maurice Trattoria is still open. I don't remember which one, but it's a family restaurant.
Stop trying to get discounts. Via Sfora's
in Westport. Via Sfora's in Westport, Connecticut. Also very good. Those are fun places to grow up in because there's like a weird, like the cultural thing is very fun. So
being Italian is great.
Sorry for being earnest.
No.
Do you know like the famously
don't
fun?
Apologize.
You know the famously fun Irish cuisine and also behavior around each other. Yeah, you know that famous thing.
You mean
fun? Tilted kilt? Yeah. Head down to the tilted and kilt.
Yeah.
The famously fun Irish behavior is a good.
You know, like the Irish familial warmth that everyone talks about. There's definitely not at least one sibling frozen out of every family at any given time. Yeah, like that. Without just like, we're not talking anymore.
You're here, your family, which means you eat alone.
And we don't talk about
us.
Michael because he's not invited.
Yeah.
And he knows what he did.
Yeah, Michael goes to Olive Garden by himself and they're like, when you're here, your family's like, finally. Can't leave.
No. I really, that's very heartwarming to me as someone who grew up in like a half Irish, half Italian like culture of like the Irish people feeling like finally seen and heard by the Italians. Like,
yeah.
What's your nine in joke?
My nine in joke? Oh, about you're, I'm half
you're
Irish.
Half Irish, half Italian. What is that? I get my suit spaghetti at the graveyard. Is that
graveyard? The graveyard?
I feel like Irish people are dead alive.
Eli just thinks Angela's ashes is just that's what being I was thinking Irish. Of.
You know that stereotype that Irish people are dead alive?
Oh, man.
A lot of them did die.
Hey, man, tough talk coming from a Jewish guy, all right? Back off.
A lot of them did die.
Yeah, no, it's been rough.
Both of you from famously dying.
Yeah, rough,
famously
rough stretch.
Famously dead people.
Yeah. It's rough. Sorry. You know, there's just constant funerals.
Yeah.
I mean, I have such a small family that, like, even with everybody being included and stuff, you know, not being frozen out, that...
Hey, congrats on not being frozen out.
Hey, well, my nuclear family is that, like, we're good. There's a dwindling number of people sort of in the orbit. Mm. And,
yeah.
Like, I don't have a lot of... I have a few cousins, but not a lot. And it's sort of... And so, we used to have like sort of we'd like people my parents' friends would become like part of like the family like they would, and that sort of like it's somebody you like and choose to invite, not somebody you have to invite.
Yeah.
So you sort of like create this. Oh, this is what it'd be like if we all got along. You know, we got these people that we like, and they don't really have anybody else to hang out with, so they're hanging out with us. Very normal stuff.
Sort of just like draft a family.
Yeah,
over
exactly.
Time. Yeah, that sounds good.
I mean, it's a good. It seems like a good deal. Yeah. I mean, you know, if you fight, you can just be like, "Well, we don't have to see each other ever again.
Yeah.
There's no obligations here. It's up to us."
Unlike the people that like every time it's Thanksgiving, they're like on like social media, or whatever, and they're like, "Ugh, gotta go home and sit at the Thanksgiving dinner
gotta
table
go
with my
knife fight with my dad about Trump."
It's like, well, just don't do that. It's like, oh, my uncle is a murderer. But he's like, well, don't invite your uncle to Thanksgiving.
So how's everyone? Do you really support this, Dad? It's like, well, you don't have to do this.
Yeah, you really don't.
This is not normal, Dad.
Especially, like, you can only talk about turkey for, like, 3 hours.
Yeah.
It's, like, not hard to do.
Yeah.
You guys know how, like, it makes you tired? You guys know how because it has the stuff in it?
Tryptophan?
Like, oh, yeah, what's it called again? Yeah, tryptophan. Nice.
So you just, what you do at Thanksgiving if you don't like your family, you joke about how the food's going to make you need to take a nap for the whole time you're awake, and then you go take a nap and you're done.
Maybe like you fake opening your belt or something.
Yep. Very theatrically.
Classic move.
Ask about the game.
Yep.
Talk about CTE.
Have a strong opinion one way or the other about whether there's marshmallows on one of the sides or not. I feel like that's a, you know.
Look, should yams be candied?
I don't like that sweet stuff.
Do you like the jar cranberry sauce? Do you like the fresh cranberry sauce? Look, we're here to help you guys. We have all the topics.
Yeah, just remember. Yeah. Remember, just that, remember, we, remember that we talked about this for 4 minutes. nine minutes before,
or better. Just put on our podcast at the Thanksgiving dinner table and sit in bone silence and don't fucking say anything.
Pretend you all have to pee at the urinal next to each other.
I was going
to
say, what did you call the silence when two people are trying to pee?
Porcelain silence.
Porcelain silence.
Yeah. That's only in the bathroom, though.
Sounds like a
like
a Bjork album title or
something. Yeah, I was going to say that's like a shoegaze album.
Yeah.
Poor
it's a pretty cool
silence.
Phrase I came up with, I agree.
It's pretty tight.
Pretty sick.
It's going to be the title of Eli's first album, Porcelain Silence.
Yeah. That's me telling my jokes in a bathroom.
I was just going to say, I feel like that is a bad name for a comedy album. It's going to be like, he must just bomb.
Just like the most alti album imaginable is you just with like your phone out like at a urinal and you're just telling your jokes to anybody who walks in and has to piss in the bathroom.
Guys, pick up my live comedy album, Somebody Canceled at the Beast. It's gonna be great.
My big break. All right. Well, we gotta move it along here.
Yeah.
Number two.
But fortunately, we don't have to go too far.
Not too far.
Good news, everyone.
We don't have to get on the ferry or anything. Yeah.
We went from Rome to Napoli. That's kind of what we just did.
Yeah. No, we don't have to get on the ferry because even though this story did not happen in Staten Island, it like. Spiritually happened in Staten Island.
That's correct.
Yeah. It emotionally did. And this story is about a amazing crime caper that happened this week. A heist.
A true heist.
There was a daring heist of a man's pot of meatballs this week. in Pennsylvania. Authorities were alerted to this theft. The man whose meatballs were stolen called the police, which is like, this whole story is weird, but imagine calling the police because someone stole your pot of meatballs.
I mean, that would be so deeply unnerving, though, if you like...
That is true.
We're making meatballs.
Well, no, they weren't. They were in the garage, though.
They
right?
were in the garage.
An open garage.
Yeah.
So it's not like, it's almost like a, cool? this is like wow. a pie, this, know, this is like a pie windowsill situation.
100% yeah. a pie windowsill situation.
Only in like the Italian stereotype neighborhood from like that movie Mafia. Like, you know, like that's like, it's not, oh, we got to put yeah. the meatballs out there on the,
You know what I think this whole thing is actually is a Heathcliff cartoon yeah. is what this is. Because not only were a pot of meatballs stolen from an open garage, the culprit was then apprehended because he had red sauce all over his face.
Did he go bobbing for the meatballs?
No, they...
Like, how big a pot
well, they
is this?
Literally mean just the meatballs are gone. The pot was still there.
He just There's fished just all sauce. The meatballs out of the sauce.
There, I like to imagine them, like, walking up behind somebody and being like, sir, I'm sorry, did you happen to see? And then tap him on the back, turn to, It was just covered. Just so much
they
sauce.
They immediately all go for their guns.
Me?
Yeah. Yes.
Meatballs? No.
Or he's like trying to not show his face. Yeah. Like it's like, woo, hey buddy.
Oh yeah,
I'm looking like, for a guy right here. It's like in that movie that I just watched the movie Good Time. It's a really good movie, but they rob a bank and they like the dye things go off, so they're all covered in red shit. Yeah. And yeah. the cops are like, hey, you guys see him? Hang on a second. The guy's like, ah, and they just start running because they're all red.
I'm just imagining like a perp walk where like it's a famous person going to trial and they're like covering their face. With,
no,
like,
was this the guy? There's five guys in the lineup and they all have sauce yeah. on them.
Do you let him clean the sauce off before the mugshot? I say no.
This is actually probably a constitutional criminal law question.
Yeah,
mugshot. You got to put sauce on everybody. You can't have sauce on the one guy. Okay, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
It's like you have to make them all say the same thing. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You
like,
make
give
them
me
all,
your money or I'll kill you.
You,
you
make
know,
them
whatever.
All bob
you make them
for meatballs.
All eat a pot of meatballs.
It's like, so you can, you know, I mean, I don't want to be, I can't be sure, but I'm pretty sure it's the guy covered in marinara sauce.
Holding his stomach.
Yeah. yeah. The rest of the guys look like they're out of central casting from like a Usual Suspects and then a guy with like a bib covered in yeah. red sauce.
Just looks like the guy from Monty Python with like the parted hair.
Yeah, you know? Mr. Creosote.
Me? I'm a vegetarian. Of course not. And they're like, I think they stop somebody else and turn around. They're like mouth and covered in red. And like, is that meatballs? I was like, no, this is blood. I'm a murderer.
Okay, like, carry on, sir. On.
Like, Your Honor, I will present evidence to the jury that this man actually was cooking his own meatballs that day. And this is a tragic miscarriage of justice. Our man was in the wrong place at the wrong time. He just finished his own meatballs and was going for a stroll around the neighborhood.
You should go represent this guy, Patty. Yeah. This is a good defense.
The lawyer pulls out some papers.
I could probably think of some other defenses that might apply better than making your own meatballs.
The lawyer pulls out some papers and they're covered in sauce and he's doing a thing where he like smacks his hand against it. He's like, we look here. I think you'll find.
He licks his finger to turn the page and then licks his finger again because there's sauce on it.
It's like that fucking whoever, like Brendelwald tweet. He spit drips in his suitcase is full of meatballs.
Yeah. What, like, I'm trying to figure out what the, I mean, I doubt they're even going to really charge this guy with anything. It's just kind of like, hey, man, what the fuck? Like, I don't know what else you like. Like the pettiest of larcenies. Like, like give him the money that he spent on the
That's
making
the
meatballs.
Is it like the meatballs valued at? Like, what do you?
Because it's not. Yeah, it's not breaking in because the garage is open. Like he didn't like break
in. I mean, it's trespassing.
Go for the trespassing, I guess.
The market price of a meatball. Just go to the. Go to a local restaurant.
See what they charge for a sub.
You gotta get bids though. You can't have. See, that's this is the
gotta
problem you're running into again. Yeah,
yeah. That this guy.
We're
then
not gonna
tries...
ask anybody else. How much are meatballs? $400.
This guy was in on it the whole time. It's an insurance fraud thing.
Yeah, like at the end, like where
it
they
must
all,
have
yeah.
been $500-$600 worth of meatballs. You
all of a sudden, the fucking like. Like the Ocean's music comes on at the end, it's like boom, ba-da-dum, ba-da-dum, boom. And they show like all the different like moving things that lead to this thing where they just have like $1,000. This is the big scam.
And the guy is Andy Garcia still.
It's the Italian American job, okay?
That's. Yeah. Oh, God.
Look, I, you know.
Oh, Mamma Mia hands.
I respect both of these men.
Yeah,
Italian food is good.
Two heroes.
It's hard to say no to. I don't know that I would do a crime to have some.
Your Honor, how do we know the meatballs didn't just roll away?
I love how the lawyer is immediately a complete like guinea, like just yeah. like yeah.
No, everybody involved in this.
Yeah, I do a mostly meatball law. It's like what?
May I ask?
Hang
you,
on.
Do you live on a hill? Oh, you do. You do. Curious.
And what a
did
when you were cooking the meat
in the vicinity of the meatballs sneeze? Yeah. Perhaps.
Yeah. When you were cooking you this meat, what shape would you say these this meat was in at the time it disappeared? Well, aww. I guess it would be balls. And could you just demonstrate for the jury the shape, you know, just so we can have for the okay. And would you say that these this shape, what was it again? A ball? Okay, yeah.
No, I do have pictures of your house here, and I do notice a little bit down this incline is what we like to call a sewer grate. Now, did you go down into the sewer and look for these meatballs?
It's just a way to guarantee. My cousin Vinny, but just with like meatball skin marks. Like.
Yeah.
They
meatballs have positronic guidance, whatever that thing is.
Positraction.
Yeah.
So I think we hit a good number of the standard Italian sort of things there. Yeah. But look, I think that's I say all that with love because yeah. I like I said I enjoy. I don't know why I'm not apologizing. I think
don't apologize.
I will never apologize. anyway, look. If you get a chance to steal meatballs, I think. There's a certain type of person that'll steal the meatballs, you know? Most people would not go in. Yeah, but even among thieves, like, I feel like, you know, it's not really like
there's honor among meatball thieves.
It's like what else is in this garage? Like, it's power tools, maybe I could hawk those or take them to a pawn shop or something like that. No, what's that? What's in that pot? Yeah, what's in that pot?
I really think you nailed it when you said it's a pie on a windowsill situation. Yeah. I feel like this. See,
he actually, it's not his fault because he got the meatball smell got into his nostrils.
Yeah, and it hooked him and it dragged him.
And he dragged him on
it.
His tiptoes.
It happens to the best of us.
I was gonna cook some meatballs later and bring them, you know, put them in the pot. I thought nobody would notice. This thing.
How much of a crime of opportunity was this? Does he have a stove in the garage, or were the meatballs
out? This is what I'm guessing. I'm guessing crock pot.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm guessing like plugged in crock pot, and he's like working on his car or something.
But
he just needs a meatball break from doing his yard work or whatever. I just feel like, and some people like a nice cold glass of lemonade. Some people
and he just
like some meatballs.
Like he wipes the black stuff off his hands with a rag and he just grabs a meatball like an apple and just takes a bite.
Yeah.
Shines it on his shirt. I just like if I was walking down the street and I looked over and there was an open garage door with a bubbling pot of meatballs just like in the middle of the garage, I'd be like, who are you trying to catch?
This is a strange scenario.
This is entrapment.
This was actually the FBI was trying to catch Porky. That was actually just from very far away. It was not a well planned out.
Yeah, this
operation.
Is really bringing everything together. Yeah, this story.
We're gonna find out it's Swedish meatballs, and we've just been horrifically offensive whole time.
Well, Swedish,
that would be even more incomprehensible to me is a crockpot of Swedish meatballs in a
garage.
There
were so many meatballs in there.
So many.
There's so many. There's so little. There's so many of them. Yeah. Look, they're delightful, but that's too many. You can't eat all those. What are you catering the smorgasbord later, pal? I don't have enough Swedish stereotype stuff to.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say meatball
convention.
It's definitely
convention. Italian meatballs because you had red sauce.
Yeah, red sauce. Yeah,
the telltale red sauce.
If it was Swedish meatballs, it'd be fucked. That like, looks like there's more immigrants coming in and creating no-go zones in the meatballs. I don't know what the. Yeah. I don't know any Swedish references other than the ones from that racist guy online.
No, I can't stop imagining the telltale meatball. It's like the Poe thing where it's like red sauce is bubbling through the floor and you can't get over it. I want just like semi-racist stereotypical Italian rewritings of so many Edgar Allan Poe, like the cask of meatballs. That's what
your one reference
him,
is just all meatballs.
The cask of a mozzarella.
Yeah. He's like, I have a very nice meatball in the back of my basement, and the guy
just
goes
one
down
meatball.
There. Yeah, you know, bricks him in.
For the love of God,
I'm a bit of a literary. Can't think of the word. Well, enthusiast.
There's a self burn there. Pretty rough. I just love this scenario. Yeah. Where they grab the guy and it's like, hey man, did you eat those meatballs? And he's just like red all over him. He just goes like,
No.
Meatball falls
out of his mouth. Yeah.
Still, he has one meatball on each cheek while they're talking to him.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
God bless you, a hero. Hero among heroes.
Yeah, I forget the guy's name, but him and Porky are the
MVPs.
They're the troops to me, honestly.
They're my troops.
And this week's number one reason to say what a time to be alive.
Oh, and shout out, by the way, to I believe it was Tom, who was the first one that sent us the meatball thief story. And also also to a wonderful, robust voiced man, Dan Chamberlain, who is the voice of the countdown, who also sent it to me like when I was walking up the stairs to come in to record.
I'm glad we've established our brand. It's good.
Somebody told me, like, they tweeted at us or something that Dan Chamberlain really scares them. Like,
really? He's a large
voice,
man.
Like, just his voice, like, freaks them out. Dan, like, he sounds scary to them.
Yeah.
He could be spooky if he wanted to be spooky.
He could be. He's just such a non-spooky man.
He's a sweetie.
He's a big sweetie.
And also, I'd say while we're doing that real quick, we did make a Discord if anybody's interested in that. We'll have like the link in our bio. It's actually pretty fun. There's a lot of people in there. So,
yeah,
we'll
put it's check been that very out. Cool.
Wanted to get that outside of the plugs that will get skipped in the end.
Yeah, people will listen most of the way. All right, so number one this week is, this is some recently breaking news. As people probably recall, you know, there was the horrible shooting in... on Valentine's Day, right? Is that when it was? Valentine's Day?
Yep.
It was, in Florida. And there's been this sort of crazy thing where these, it's different because it's high school kids who seem to be prepared to sort of actually hold people accountable or at least do things that should hold people accountable. It's not, it remains to be seen what actually happens. But basically, they're just like dunking all over these dipshit politicians who have nothing to say other than just, you know, well, we need to make schools safe. Thoughts. So, this has made a lot of people whose brains are broken pretty upset. They don't understand why we haven't stopped talking about this, I guess. They also just generally have a view of the world that is very strange. I think I heard somebody say conspiracy theorists. They're like the quote that I thought was good was like they're the last believers in an ordered universe, meaning that if something bad happens, it seems incomprehensible. It's not incomprehensible. There's somebody behind it type thing.
Yeah. Well, I think that's why there's such in particular about all of these shootings.
Right.
Why there's so many.
Because it's like, why the fuck is this happening? Why would somebody just shoot up a school? Like, you know, even if they were bullied or whatever, like, I mean, at least target the people, you know, but you just hate everybody. It's crazy. You know,
but it's just like it's so horrible
right.
that people can't. Yeah. So, imagine it happening. So naturally, it's all staged to take
right.
our guns away.
So, you know, the usual suspects are kind of doing this thing where they're sort of saying, well, it turns out this kid, David Hogg, he was in California a few months ago. So he definitely didn't go to this school. He's a crisis actor and he's being put up, you know, George Soros is paying for it. Whoever's paying for it.
My favorite thing about that, too, is that, like, the thing that he was on the news for in California was, like, not a thing.
It was like a lifeguard yelling at his friend and he took video.
Yeah.
And he grew up there, but then he moved to Florida and like he was visiting. Like this is
like,
not
like, is the implication that you're using a crisis actor to capture a lifeguard yelling at his friend? Like
they just think it's a gotcha, but the gotcha doesn't even make sense.
Yeah, yeah. It's so insane. And obviously it's insane,
like,
but it's
and they do like their image macros where they have these insane like it's like the Beautiful Mind where they have like this yarn between everything, but it's like that but with like lines on a JPEG of just like this is actually an actress, this is actually blah blah blah, and none of them even look like each other, which is always good. But so the usual people are you know, like Gateway Pundit I think ran a thing that they haven't taken down. Maybe the dumbest guy in news, that Jim Hoft guy who runs Gateway Pundit, pretty impressive, and just an odious person. And obviously the granddaddy of them all is InfoWars, Alex Jones, who had to apologize to the Sandy Hook people for, you know, being a Sandy Hook truther and basically had to like through gritted teeth be like, if I offended anyone, I'd like to apologize, you know,
which is not even good. You can't say if I offended anyone.
Yeah.
Well, they never back down. And the reality is even if they do back down, it doesn't matter. And that's the thing about all this stuff, which is why this idea of, you know, and we're going to get to why, but this whole like deplatforming thing is like, well, you know, what about, you know, the marketplace of ideas, blah, blah, blah. And what if they're proven wrong? Fine, then prove them wrong. It's like, yeah, but nope, everybody stops fucking paying attention after the first thing comes out.
Nothing
so they shouldn't
away.
Be able to fucking say it in the first place. If they get engaged in that kind of behavior, then fuck them, you know, and like, you're not constitutionally entitled to have a social media page. It's bullshit. So anyway, yeah. So
like the way the news works right now, retractions are useless. They're right. Literally useless.
And the smart guy conservatives who are smarter than everyone else, you know, they love to point out like, well, this one got 10,000 retweets and the correction got 40 retweets. It's like, okay, dude, you know, like you got everybody, you know?
Yeah.
No shit. It's not a healthy environment. Like, okay.
Yeah. Nobody finishes the article, but they definitely read the footnote at the end.
Right.
So anyway, Alex Jones and InfoWars, were peddling their usual bullshit, and YouTube has this thing where it's like a three strike system. So there's different ways to get strikes, you know, if you get three and they don't like, you know, warn you they're coming, like you just get them. If you get a third one, I think you're just out, like you lose your channel.
They ban you.
Yeah, so
they demonetize everything for sure.
Well, I think demonetize sooner. I think they actually take away your account after three.
So what do you get strikes for?
Well,
copyright infringement, and then copyright
stuff, targeted harassment would be stuff. I think they like, I mean, you know, like, I'm sure there's all their terms are also fucked because none of them ever thought they'd have to reckon with like this sort of like weird news ecosystem where like people are just not watching the news and are just watching whatever's trending on YouTube. Like it's, you know,
it's crazy because it's not as bad as Twitter, but for a thing, it's like for someone to say like the Sandy Hook stuff and be like, this is a fake mass murder of children. And then they're like, strike one. Like that's not... You haven't created a system that works for
and
that.
So InfoWars just got their second strike.
Got it.
And it's kind of like theatrical because it's like if the strike comes down, it's like, oh shit, like you're done or whatever. Maybe they give you a chance to put your affairs in order, but then you're gone.
That's exciting.
And, you know, Alex Jones has been, he like, basically, one of the teens, the guy who was the... in California, so they all think he's fake because he filmed a lifeguard.
The crisis actor, Hogg.
David Hogg. He like quote retweeted Alex Jones or something like, you know, like fuck you, man. You know, you're accusing everybody of being crisis actors, blah blah blah, or something like that. And so he responded. Alex Jones has been like all in his mentions all day, like, excuse me, sir, you're defaming me. I didn't say these things. Please, I'd welcome an open debate of these issues. You know, blah blah blah. Yeah. And so now it's gotten to the point where, you know, they're like, this would be a big, I assume, financial blow to InfoWars if they lost their YouTube channel because like they have tons of subscribers and I assume that's how they hawk all their horse shit, you know, pills and stuff. I mean, they have their own, but they do their streams, I think, through YouTube. I don't think they have their own platform. I'm sure they'll get their own platform. If there's a massive deplatforming of these sort of like fringe people, then there will be some, you know, like equivalent of like Gab for Twitter. There'll be some shithead YouTube that starts up, I'm sure. But
they should just call it that.
And then all the teens will go watch like 45-minute lectures by like a fat guy in his bedroom about race realism, which is apparently a thing that happens, which is very disturbing. But he basically is now begging David Hogg to like sort of, I guess, intercede on his behalf. And they're saying like CNN's trying to deplatform us. They're coming after us. And
that's what I don't. How did he get from you're a crisis actor to you somehow have power over my YouTube page? Is it because he's a crisis actor and therefore a member of the media?
Well, because he's plugged in with the media. He's got, ties with the Illuminati or whatever, I assume. I'm sure he's not going to say that in this part of the video because that obviously doesn't help us. He's not that stupid that he would, you know. But
he's begging also, this kid.
There's been a strain even among the sort of adults in the room to the extent there are any, like that idiot Eric Erickson who like shot up the New York Times. Remember that guy? He like the fucking ham with a pulse motherfucker. He said that like, actually these kids are bullies. This is bullying. They're bullying. They're being mean to
guns.
Yeah. They're being mean to guns and gun owners. And, we this is just not right. This is, you know, they shouldn't be attributing motives to anyone. You know, they shouldn't be saying that people want people to be murdered. That's just not appropriate. And, this is bullying. It's like, well, they would like to just be alive. I don't think that's unreasonable. But anyway, so let's get
they do, but they try to do this like cute, like little, like, oh, we can own people too, and it's like you've chosen of all the people you decided to start owning. Why was it the survivors of a school? Like what?
Right? How does that help?
They
your,
just have that.
That's the worst PR you could possibly have.
Yeah, they have this complete disconnect. I don't know.
I don't think the NRA and those people were prepared for this. Were like, it wouldn't just work and people would go away.
Yeah, well, that's what's like...
There's only 5 million members. That's not a lot. That is such a small percent. They say like 5 million strong. It's like, who fucking cares? That's even if you really double it, that's not a number that moves the needle anywhere.
Yeah, like, and like if it's 5 million gun owners versus children right. who are like, stop killing us. Right. Like, that's, yeah. I don't know. And it's like, hard to not be sympathetic even if you're a fucking asshole.
And with right. the general trend of, like, I mean, obviously, you know, younger people tend to, like, it takes away all their crutches that they lean on, because you can't talk about politicizing it because they're the people that can decide that. They happen to be like an incredibly progressive, like, just youth in general are so progressive and like active now that it's like you just gave the biggest fuel to people that were already very motivated.
Yeah.
And it's just like, this one isn't.
And you know, they're really fucking good at online. Yeah. So they're going to make fun of you.
And
a
we're
lot.
Yeah. and we're past the point where everyone's civil. Right. So yeah. like this idea of like, well, please let's be civil. It's like, oh, fuck you, dude. Like yeah. you passed that point a long time ago when you're chained to lock her up for Hillary or whatever, you know,
yeah,
like
yeah,
we're
yeah.
done
yeah.
with
sure.
this shit. So anyway, so
let's, I want to hear, I've yeah. not heard.
So now we
yet.
Have Alex Jones in front of a map of the world to show he's a serious man.
Mm-hmm.
Is now making a impassioned plea to David Hogg. Challenging him to a debate.
But even behind him in the map is Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Which,
well, they run they're the globalists. Like, they're back there. They got the orb.
David Hogg is the main spokesperson of the anti-gun lobby. He's one of the survivors of the tragic event where the police are now admitted to have stood down and where the shooter was on psychotropic drugs yet again. And he has come out on his Twitter account and called me all sorts of names, said I'm a scam artist, said I was sued by people from Sandy Hook, which I wasn't. And basically, he says I'm a piece of SH, you know what, T.
You know what?
I'm not CNN lobbying to have InfoWars shut down, and they actually have frozen our YouTube account. And I'm just asking Mr. Hogg, do you support the First Amendment? I know you don't support the Second Amendment. And can you come out and set the record straight that I didn't say these things? Why are you defaming me and saying I'm bullying you like you're a child when you're not? You're an adult and a public figure. You challenged me to a debate on Twitter. People can see it, but now you're not responding. Were you just trying to bait me, to try to get me to be rude because I haven't done it yet? Please, Mr. Hogg, stand up for the First Amendment and come on the show.
Hey, Mr. Hogg, first of all, he's talking to a 17 or 18-year-old kid, calling him Mr. Hogg.
Yeah.
And I know you don't stand for the Second Amendment, but do you stand for my First Amendment right to say that you're a fake survivor of a shooting?
Tone of this is so funny, but it's also very familiar to me in he has the exact tone of the third Tinder message from someone who you have not yet responded to, where they are both resentful and needy to you, like both. That's exactly how he
just
sounds.
Just thought I'd check in.
He's like, yeah, the next one's gonna be like, all right, fine, you're at the hot anyway, bitch. Like that's
exactly.
The next video.
Exactly. That's exactly how he sounds to me. It's just he's going back and forth from negging to pleading.
Mr. Hogg, please. Now, I did not say that you are all in league with Satan. I said that you were in league with Planned Parenthood, which is, of course, servant of Satan. But that does not mean you're directly in league with Satan. Please correct the record. Come on the show. Please give me your star power so we can get some more viewers.
Yeah.
I'm not a scam artist. By the way, before we go any further, I wanted to point out this product that I sell here. it's called these brain pills. They're really great. They contain all this milk thistle, which is really wonderful stuff for your brain. It's $800. Thank you.
Yeah. I like his reluctance to curse as well. That's great.
Yeah.
I did say that... You know, I said that the none of the children are dead and that those were fake bodies, and that is not bullpucky, sir. That is true.
Yeah.
He doesn't
want to be offensive. He'll just claim. Yeah. But I think I've talked about this on the show before because it's one of my favorite Alex Jones merch facts. Do you guys know what his brand of coffee is called?
Oh, you did mention it. It's a good pun.
I will mention it anytime he comes up because I love it. The Alex Jones official coffee blend is called Wake Up America.
Yeah, it's good.
Extremely good.
Yeah.
This is what's so strange too. Like, he lives in Austin. Like, people see him around.
Yeah.
Like, he's just around. And if you go up to him in person and call him on any of this stuff, he's like, yeah, it's an act. Like, yeah.
When he was in the child custody thing.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, I'm a performer. Yeah.
And it's the kind of thing where, like, if there weren't people that actually fucking believe this shit, that weren't like so around the bend that they're gonna like go up to people and like confront them, you know, why are you lying about this? You know, like if he was just like a guy who was, and he was for a while, you know what I mean? When this
was kind of blew up,
but even after 9/11, which is when he kind of made his bones, you know, on like the whole conspiracy thing. But like, even like the early to mid 2000s, it was like, this is like really funny shit. Like, you know, but now it's like, well, first of all, now he's like completely pivoted to bootlicking state media because he loves Trump. So, like, right. It's kind of annoying in that sense. Like, it's not, like, anti-establishment at all anymore.
Yeah.
But... like, it was kind of funny, but it's like, you can't, it's not funny anymore because shit
right.
like this.
Like, it was like AM radio funny, and now it's like, oh, people are like shooting up Comet Pizza.
People are sending death threats yeah. to the family of, you know, like, yeah.
Well, I don't think this is like the newest, but it's like, that's what's so ridiculous to me, partly about like when Trump said that thing, it's like, oh, it's a violent media. It's violent in movies and video games. It's like, wait, okay, so you're saying that like violent movies and video games have inspired people to do this stuff, but something that actually represents itself as news and says that the staff of a pizza place is molesting children, and then but somebody acting on that is like, that's just them, they're just
yeah,
getting
but
crazy,
but that's
like,
just because he's an old uncreative asshole. That's just because yeah. he has talking points from 30 years ago.
Yeah,
he has no original takes on anything.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the party line? Okay, these are very violent games. You know, what do you think your fucking son is playing, right? Like, you know, Baron is probably
I want to know what Baron plays. What Baron is doing.
I don't know. What's the most... Yeah. I
don't know enough about games
Baron's
to make a joke.
Playing the same, like, Newgrounds dating sims that... whatever. like, walking in. Ooh.
I really hope that Baron Trump is really into dating yeah. sims. That would
yeah,
be so
he's
great.
On Newgrounds.
That'd be pretty tight.
He's in chat rooms or whatever the equivalent of that is.
Yeah. So anyway, so I hope... I haven't gotten an update
on
this.
How old is Baron?
12 or 13.
Okay, yeah. Baron, like, full on posts on 4chan. Like, no question. Don't
Maybe.
You think?
I don't know. He, like, to.
I bet he's, like, on the internet all the time. I bet
yeah,
he's a
probably.
Post- I bet he's a poster.
Yeah. I don't know. What's your
mom,
limit?
His mom might keep him off.
Yeah, like, what? I don't know what your limitations are as a child, like, now.
Yeah, but, like, I feel like they're probably bad parents, right? Is my guess.
Well, I don't know what else. I don't know what else she does.
Yeah.
There's well, like, she's anti-bullying online. That,
well, there's
a huge
like,
agenda that she...
Though maybe, because I feel like there's a big thing with just general internet stuff where there's a lot, like, a lot of celebrities and different people, like, actually have started doing more because nobody knows who you are on there. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, so fucking celebrities are on Xbox Live and, like, on 4chan. There was, like, a huge conspiracy where people were trying to figure out because so many people were sure that Taylor Swift was, like, a regular 4chan browser.
That's not true.
Like, yeah,
no
I know,
way.
But it was like there. It's just, but
you, it makes conceivable sense.
Disprove it because yeah. if you're Taylor Swift, your interactions with everyone in life are so strange and stilted,
yeah.
and have been since a fairly young age that maybe you want to go fucking post weird memes and like, yeah. yeah, she's just posting gore pics all day. She's actually,
my favorite thing about the way that people have been treating these kids is that they're like, oh, I see you're really interested in gun violence. Interesting how you don't talk about Planned Parenthood. And it's like, what? Wait, hang on. Like,
also,
my
will.
One thing is the gun thing. Like, because I just had the gun thing just happened to me.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Am I not allowed to have a week and a half of talking about this? Like, come on.
Nope. Yeah,
it was like, when will you address Planned Parenthood?
They will talk about
they're
it.
They're selling baby parts.
Yeah.
Look, I'm just saying, you know, you're not, like I said, I didn't say that you're a crisis actor. I said that you are an actor. That's a key difference here.
Yeah,
yeah look, I don't
anyway,
know.
Anyway, I got to...
David Hogg, please respond, yeah. sweetie. Please respond, Mr. Hogg.
Mr. Hogg, looking hot.
Send feet, yeah. Mr. Hogg.
As I said, we got a strike on our YouTube channel, so please come into our channel and debate me where I will inevitably get mad, insult you, and receive the final strike on my YouTube channel.
Like, that's absolutely going to happen.
Mr. Hogg, please, can we continue this conversation on Kick? Then we can send pics.
yeah.
Thank you very much.
Like, I don't understand, like, the... Do you know how mortified I would be to like go to a party and find out someone I'd like talk shit about in a group DM was there? This person can be like, I mean, it'll be awkward because I said that his friend's dying was fake, but I do need to talk it out.
Right. Like, well, this is the best because it's like, join me in the marketplace of ideas. And it's like, no. You can
yeah.
just say no. And
yeah,
like,
yeah.
There's no, like, what are you going to, like, you know, like, oh, I won this interaction. Yeah, you chose not to debate the little
note.
You're
not entitled to an argument with yeah. anyone, but you're especially not entitled to an argument with
yeah.
a traumatized victim of a school shooting that you called fake. Like, if anyone, you're not entitled yeah. to their time, it's that person.
The little note, one and a half amendment, which says you have to debate me in the marketplace of ideas. You cannot refuse.
We must debate.
Yeah.
Moon pay.
Clear the air a little bit.
What a time to be alive.
Yeah, so I think that's it. This was a pretty good week. A lot of Paizan related stuff.
Patty did Mamma Mia hands again. Want yeah. everyone to know.
Well, you know, you put a little stink on the
good.
On the
hear
word.
The air whooshing near the
yeah.
mic.
Maron. Yeah, so I don't know. Does anybody have anything to plug? I'm on a great show in the East Village in New York tomorrow night, Wednesday, the 28th. That's called Let's See Anything Else, or Let's See What Else, excuse me. It's at Poco, and it's supposed to be a really good show. I'm very pumped to do it. And then we got Elon and I got Carmen every Friday, 8:30. Send us emails, whatatimepodcast@gmail.com. We're on all the stuff at Twitter, Instagram, whatatimepod. And Eli mentioned the Discord. Well, there'll be a link to that in the description. And also you can find it by going to the Twitter feed or whatever. It's on there too. That is pretty fun. Group chats are exhausting. I don't know how people do it all the time. I go in like once every 6 hours at best. But
the Doug Marcotte quotient is already very high.
Yeah. Immediately a lot of Doug Marcotte memes. Which
we got it. You got to check out if you're a Blade respecter. There's a lot of content for you in the Discord. We also have Willie emoticons now. It's real good.
Really, what the internet was invented for. As far as me, I have a show that will have happened yesterday at UCB East. To Karma. Karma's fun. It's a good time.
I have two other podcasts. If you like wrestling, listen to WrestleSplania. If you like stories about con artists, listen to Lie, Cheat, and Steal. I have a show with the Street Fight guys, Street Fight Radio, very fun podcast, March 30th at Littlefield. That'll be with Street Fight and Rachel Millman. It should be really fun. Buy tickets for that. And I think that's it. I'm Kath Barbadoro on everything.
Yeah. Leave us also reviews on iTunes. I think that's the thing that's supposed to help. I don't know.
Do that, please.
Yeah. Five stars. So that's it. I'm Patrick Monahan.
I'm Kath Barbadoro.
I'm Eli.
We don't normally do that, do we?
No, we don't.
Okay, well.
I like it, though.
Yeah. Let's bring it back next week.
It feels kind of weirdly official. All right. Well, we'll see you guys later.
Bye.
Bye.